chapter 4. Allow me to recall our previous lesson. Peter and John had been preaching with boldness the resurrected Christ in chapter 4, verse 2. I'll read that for you as you're turning there to chapter 4. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. It grieved the priests and the captain of the temple, so much so that they laid hands on these brethren. As we see in verse 3, it says, and they lay hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for now it was eveningtide. Yet so many had witnessed this wonderful miracle that no one could deny it. That's what we read in verse 16 of chapter 4. So many had witnessed it, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They could say nothing against it because so many had gone, had witnessed the whole thing. The religious leaders could not fabricate anything to shut these men up. They could not repudiate the truth, so instead they just threatened these men. Folks, these men were challenging the religious leaders and their beliefs. They were standing before the religious leaders and they were saying, you guys are following after a false god, one that you've made up of your own imagination, one who's waiting for you to accomplish your salvation. Ooh, we can't have that. How dare you challenge me? Have you ever had somebody challenge you? It just happened to me. Just yesterday. I was challenged by someone young who knew more than I do. No matter how I tried to explain through experience what we were trying to talk about, and to be quite honest with you, I kind of lost it a little bit. I got a little excited. I didn't yell and scream, but you know, when I get excited about things, my voice tends to go up a little bit. Ask Kathy. She's been dealing with it for years, and she struggles with that, and I try not to, but it's just who I am. I get a little excited. It's our nature. Every one of us. I deal with it probably worse than anyone else does, but we all have to deal with people who challenge us in one way or another. And it can be quite an experience. Well, that was what was going on here. Peter and John were challenging the beliefs of these men who had spent all their years learning. They had said these were unlearned men. As it says up there in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The religious leaders could not fabricate anything to shut these men up, nor could they repudiate the truth, so they threatened them. They threatened these brothers and they sent them away. Look at verses 21 and 22. So when they had further threatened them, speaking of the religious leaders threatening John and Peter, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God that for which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. We first must take note that these men were released. And when they were released, they went directly to those who are of the same mind. In other words, they went to their own kind. Those who believe the same way. Those who worship the same God. Those who were given the same gift of faith that you and I have. Look at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And then the group lifted up their voices as one, giving God all the glory for putting them in the position and then for delivering them from. Did you know that God does that? It's God's purpose to put us in positions of trials and tribulations so that we can see who it is that delivers us from those things. When we get, you know, folks, we give our greatest praise to our Lord when we get to the point where we can see there's nothing we can do. Oh, how great it is to say, praise the Lord for delivering me from that. I know I could not do it of my own. I know that I have no strength in me to deliver myself from this problem, yet the Lord has loved me and delivered me from it because of His love. Hold your place over here in, or mark your place there in Acts chapter 4. And if you would, turn over to the Psalms. Turn over to the 35th Psalm, if you would. Psalms 35. We're talking about men who had been delivered from their problems. David is a man who had problems beyond anything you and I could ever comprehend. David loved Saul. He loved him with all of his heart, yet Saul wanted him nothing but dead. Out of jealousy, because David had become more important than Saul, who was the king, David would go to Saul, and Saul tried to kill him like 3 or 4 times. Look what David wrote here in Psalms 35, beginning at verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be a chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Folks, this is talking not just about those who are outside that might persecute us. This is talking about our inside, our inner soul, our inner flesh that persecutes our spirit. That's the war that goes on in our souls, inside of us, inside of our heart. The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Yes, we want to do what we're supposed to do, but our flesh won't let us. It does what we should not. Our spirit desires to walk as the Lord would have us, but our flesh desires not. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself in that very destruction. Let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy, and from him that spoileth him. What's our strongest enemy? Pride. Amen. Absolutely. Pride. Self-pride. That's the device men use to make their own gods, man, gods of their own imaginations. Gods who satisfy the pride of men. Now back in our text. Back in our text of Acts chapter 4. Read along with me as these men who cried out, these men who lifted up their voice, as we read in verse 24, to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and all that in them is. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage? This is another psalm that David had wrote. Psalms 2, verse 1. And the people imagined vain things, wrote David. And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. This is what's going on right now. This is what these men, these religious leaders, were doing to Peter and John. They were standing up against the Lord, against the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Remember the story of Herod and Pontius Pilate. He didn't want to crucify the Lord. No, going up there to Pontius Pilate, that's his thing. And then Pontius Pilate sent him back to Herod. No, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And Herod finally said, you know what? I wash my hands of it. His blood is on your hands. David wrote of this very thing thousands of years before, hundreds of years before this ever occurred. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do. Now listen to this. Listen to this carefully. This is so important. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. The Lord inspired David to write about this because this is something that had to be done. Our Lord didn't. Well, he wasn't. Mankind did not take his life. He laid it down. He gave them the power. Just like he said to Pontius Pilate, you'd have no power if it were not for my Father in heaven giving it to you. This man who sits in our White House right now as our leader, he'd have no power if it wasn't our God who gave it to him. How dare you and I complain about him? And I do. How dare me? Who am I to complain against my God? He knows things better than I do. God forgive me for what I say. God forgive me for what I think. Look back at chapter 2. Verses 22 and 23. Chapter 2 of Acts. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Ye people of God, ye chosen of God, ye elect, ye who God has laid down his life for you. Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. No man took his life. He laid it down. He takes it up again. Back in our text, if you would, please. In John 10:17, our Lord says himself, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And then in verses 29 through 31 of our text, we read this. We see the cry of those who love the Lord. And now, Lord, these men who just raised up their voice in one accord, crying unto the Lord that thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, the Lord of all things and the sea and all of that is in them, they say this, now, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold the threatenings that threaten me. Behold the things in this flesh that threaten John. And grant unto thy servants, grant unto me, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, the word of truth, the only word. Not the words of men, but the word of truth. By stretching, verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. You know, when I talk about signs and wonders, you should have heard what Kathy used to say about John. You should have heard that he was brainwashed. Signs and wonders. He was brainwashed. It's okay. You know the truth now. He was brainwashed. You talk about signs and wonders. She saw it. She saw it. She couldn't believe what she saw in me. The change that had happened to John. I couldn't believe the change in her when the Lord called her out of darkness 5 years later. What a change people see in the lives of God's people in signs and wonders. You want to see signs and wonders? All I got to do, Polly Mary, is look at you and see a wonderful work of God in you and how you love the gospel. Some of you have heard this already, but there was a preacher preaching a message just a while back, and he was preaching works. He stood up before the people and he preached about how we should be doing this, we should be doing that. This is the way we need to do it. People need to see us, and I want to do it. What a privilege it is for me to do it. I love to do it because my Lord loved me. I do it in the name of Jesus. I do this. I for an hour. And I saw the people of God, men and women that I know love the Lord, love the gospel as Polly Mary do, love the gospel as you and I do, sit there and just slump in their chairs. And then a gospel preacher got up afterwards for 15 minutes and preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It had nothing to do with you. It was all about him. And every one of those children of God sat up on the edge of their chair and started listening. They love to hear the gospel. That's a miracle. We used to love to drink and watch football on Sunday. I love to preach the gospel on Sunday now. I loved for 20 years to come here and hear my pastor preach the gospel. That's a miracle. That's the kind of miracles our Lord works in us. Oh, we may stumble off for a bit of time. Jonah stumbled off. Actually, he ran off. And the Lord brought him into a trial. A great trial. And what did it do? It brought him right back to saying, salvation and everything, everything is of the Lord. Verse 30 again, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. You know why that's so important to say, thy holy child? Our Lord knew no sin. Yes, he was made to be sin. And what that means, I don't know. And to be quite honest, I question those who say they do. But I know the scriptures tell us that he was made sin, that we would be made righteous in him. Not that we would be made righteous in us, but that we would be made righteous in him. The Holy Child, Jesus Christ, who was so holy. He was as holy as God his Father is. Bill and I were talking a little bit just a little while ago. Can we comprehend? Can we truly comprehend what it meant for God to be made flesh? No. We think we've got an idea. We know that he made himself of flesh in the frame of a man. But what humility, What humility it was for the one who is so holy that he cannot even look upon sin, make himself able to walk among sin. Even more, make himself to be sin. Whew. That's deep stuff. That's how deep our Lord's love is for you and I. That's how deep the Lord's love goes for you and I, that he would go to that extent, to that depth, to save us. And if he would go to that depth, how could we be lost in any way? What is there that could separate us from the love of God? Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now I know it's difficult for you and I to discuss the true and living God with the people of the world. I watched that pastor talking to the other pastor, and I could see the frustration in his eyes of how when he just tried to talk about the importance of the gospel above works, above responsibility. We do have a responsibility to be holy because God is holy. That is our responsibility. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is him who fulfilled everything for us. He who did it perfectly and made us perfect in him. That's the gospel. When this man who wanted to speak about responsibility and not the gospel continued to argue, and the other one could see there was no discussing it. He just put his hand behind his back. He had made his claim boldly. He had declared the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly. He had decried and declared the only way of salvation is through Christ. Something that could not be argued by that other man, but there was more to salvation than just that as far as he was concerned. And when when he saw there was no cause to argue anymore, he just folded his hands, put them behind his back, and just, okay, well, yeah, all right, yeah, okay. I was impressed. I told him that. I said, brother, I learned so much watching how the Lord gave you grace to handle that situation. The people of God cannot go forth and listen to the weak Jesus that the world wants. The people of God cannot go forth and hear the words of a Jesus who cannot save. They come and they speak with boldness. This is our cry, is it not? Do we not pray in our most inner being that we too could be bold in telling those around us about our Savior? Is it not our greatest desire to tell our loved ones of Him who gave Himself as our substitute, who shed His blood in death that we might live for eternity? These saints of God were acknowledging and bowing to the purposes of God. His sovereign purpose was revealed in the accomplishment of His providence. Look at verses 24 through 28 again. And when they had heard, they lifted up their voice of God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in, that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage? The people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. This fact secures our hearts in peace. We believe his word. That's what they said in verses 25 through 26. We submit to his providence. That's what they did in verse 27. And then we acknowledge his purpose in verse 20, as they did in verse 28. Nothing can turn the purpose of God. Nothing escapes his absolute rule. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah 14, verse 24. Turn over to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll just look at three verses here and come to a close. Isaiah 14. We'll look at three verses. 14, beginning at verse 24. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now look at verses 26 and 27. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Oh, we're not done yet. My apologies. These saints, go back to our text now in Exodus if you would. These saints of God asked the Lord to grant his servants grace and strength to preach the word. They made three simple requests of faith to God, whose cause they served, whose glory they sought. First, they said, they asked the Lord to watch over them. They said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. In other words, keep us safe from their threatenings. Listen to what Zechariah says in chapter 2, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. These men who were crying out for help from the Lord, they knew the word of God in Zechariah. They knew what Zechariah said. Zechariah said this, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you, for he that toucheth you, speaking of Israel, speaking of God's people, they touch the apple of his eye. We are the apple of God's eye. Lord, protect us, for we are the apple of your eye. We are precious in the sight of God. Keep us from those who would want to harm us. Keep us from ourselves, from our own flesh that wants to guide us the wrong way. They asked him to grant his servants boldness to preach the gospel. They asked him to stretch forth his hand and to reveal his power, his grace, and his glory in their midst. They asked these things in the name of Christ for the glory of Christ. And in response to their prayer, God made himself known in the midst of his people. The church was filled with the Spirit. The apostles preached the word of God with boldness. God was honored. Let every congregation imitate this congregation, and God will be honored in his church today. Folks, we cannot measure the blessings of God by what we see here today. I'd love to see these pews filled, wouldn't you? But we can't measure God's blessings by what we see in numbers. The blessings we measure is by this. Do we all stand? Do those here, those who God has brought out of darkness to this little place and rescue, do we all stand of one accord is our faith of one voice. Notice again verse 24. And when they had heard, they lifted up their voices to God and with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Boy, it's hard for me to read that sentence, but that's the way it says it, so I'll read it that way. Are we of one accord? Do we all believe that God rules everything? Everything. Everything. Including the will of men. Including my will. This God here in this book does. The very God that these scriptures speak of absolutely does. Our unity, our purpose, our desire, are we of one heart and purpose? If it is to glorify our Lord and Savior by declaring Him and His works, it says in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. Whoo! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 6 here this morning. You know, Bill and I were talking about this the other day. 2 or 3. Think about that for just a moment. If we have the Spirit in us, that's 2. Now, I'm sure the Scripture is talking about 2 or 3 of mankind. But that would be applicable. The Spirit in us would make 2, right? Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. He's with us right here, right now. He's blessing you with His Word. Not with John, not with what John's saying up here, but with His Word that we're reading. Now look at verse 31, and we will close with that. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Amen.